Three states have now passed the so-called right-to-try laws in the past 2 months. Colorado, Missouri, and Louisiana now allow terminally ill patients to try experimental drugs, even if they haven't been approved for that use by the FDA. Similar measures are under consideration in several other states. I spoke recently with Sound Medicine's bioethicist Dr. Eric Meslin about how the laws would work.
As you may know, people who are suffering at the end of life of terminal illness and really have nowhere else to go to get medical attention, that everything has pretty much failed for them, do have the ability to apply to the FDA for what's called compassionate use of a medicine. And it's a somewhat complex regulation and process that they have to go through. And a number of people have been dissatisfied with the pace and the speed that the FDA has been taking to approve some of those compassionate use applications. So some states are now experimenting with what is now being called a right to try law, letting a lot of that bureaucracy fall by the wayside, hopefully, and let patients, you know, find a physician, get permission, and get started on one of these experimental medications much more quickly.
Let the bureaucracy fall aside. That sounds impossible.
Well, you know, in a way, it is and it isn't. To be perfectly honest, the FDA has done a pretty darn good job over the last few years of streamlining the process of giving patients and physicians the opportunity to try out some of these medicines. It really involves four partners: patient, physician, FDA, and drug company. And all four have to be in agreement. A drug company has to let their medicine be used in an unusual way. Compassionate use is the way that they're allowing it now. But even in these right-to-try states that where the legislation is being attempted, drug companies will still have to let some of their medicine be used. So there's still bureaucracy, but they're trying to limit it.
And why would a drug company want to do that when they've got a drug that they're testing and they hope to make money off of and help people? Why would they want to be part of this?
Well, it's not clear, other than for good public relations, why they'd want to be involved in it. They've been admittedly very nervous about letting any Tom, Dick, or Harry just say, we'd like to try one of your medicines that are currently in a clinical trial. The trial hasn't been done. You haven't even applied to the FDA for permission to market or license it. We'd like early access to it. Understandably, a drug company would be a little skittish about that. On the other hand, there's good science that shows that they can allow some of their medicines to be used for compassionate, i.e. humanitarian use. So what we're seeing in these right-to-try laws is a much more, hopefully, streamlined process. I've got to tell you, I'm a little concerned about it. And my concern is in two parts. First, I don't know that the compassionate use provision is all that broken. Every single application that's been made to the FDA has been approved. Now, if you're the parent of a dying child, you may think that 24 hours is too long to get access. You want it in 2 days. So there will always be a dispute about how long it takes. But what I worry about is that it may become a little bit of a Wild West out there. You know, I got to find a doctor, doctor's got to convince a drug company, and away we go. At least with the compassionate use model, we've got a bit more control. And I think my second reason is we have to have some trust and faith in the U.S. system for testing medicines. We have one of the best systems in the world. We run clinical trials. We place an awful lot of emphasis on informed consent and ethics review of studies. Our medical schools are primed to do this. So that system is still working pretty well. It's actually one of the few instances where I think if people look carefully, they'll see that the system works.
Will those states then that pass the right to try laws, will they do away with the compassionate use laws?
It's not clear what they'll do. In some ways, this is a bit of an experiment in public policy as much as it is an experiment in medical care. And that's because it's often seen as an add-on or as an additional feature. If the compassionate use thing doesn't work, let's try this even faster track. there's only a few states that have tried it. So I think what we're all waiting to see is whether these states are going to proliferate or whether this is going to die on the vine.
And what are some of those specifics then with the right to try? Because obviously, if you have a dying child or a family member, you automatically think you need that help right now.
Well, absolutely. And honestly, if you know, heaven forbid it would be one of my children, and I think any parent would jump at the chance to take every effort, every resource available to them to try and find that medicine. In fact, one of the most famous cases led to one of the key lobbyists, the Abigail Alliance, that is leading the charge for these, all falling from this worry and fear that the system is too slow to respond. And the system, ironically, is too scientific, requiring too many criteria for people to come into studies. So in some ways, what this is supposed to do is allow for the physician, the patient, a willing drug company to be able to undertake what the FDA allows to do, but on a slightly slower basis.
And what's your forecast with this?
I'm not very good at predicting, although it doesn't stop me from trying. I have a feeling that this is likely going to be a bit of a flash in the pan. What it will probably do, it could be a win-win all the way around. A few states might actually start to be serious about it passing these laws more than the few that have already done so. And that may alert the FDA to maybe correcting some of the problems that are perceived, to doing a better job of communication, and perhaps to fast-tracking more of the medicines. The one fly in the ointment, Jill, is that we can't force drug companies to make medicines available. They also have to be partners. So maybe there's an incentive in there for the pharmaceutical industry to want to play ball.
You also have the influx of social media, of people getting online and posting their problems and kind of going after the drug makers. How far can they push?
Well, that's probably one of the great untested questions. What is the power of the internet, of Facebook and Twitter and all the other platforms? It, I think, has been a surprise to many in the regulatory world just how powerful social media can be. I'm rather pleased with the use of social media in that way. I think it is supposed to be a democratizing platform. But what it can't be is just a platform for drowning out all the other voices. So one of the things that worries me about using social media is that it might be eventually controlled by a smaller and smaller group of advocates and lobbyists, leaving the John Smith and Mary Jones who just want to find some help for their child, out in the dark.
And what do you see for people who are willing to wait if something like this takes precedent? That drug companies do jump ahead with some of their drugs and offer them up.
Yeah, this is, I think, one of the most challenging and heart-rending parts of the whole story, which is as much as we want to talk about the regulations and the policies and the rules and waiting, we're talking about human lives. And for someone who has a dying child or a dying parent or even a friend or a relative that they want to help, it is just tragic that any amount of perceived waiting, and there is no magic number. How long is too long? It's longer than right now. That's too long. Because I couldn't think of anything more horrific than knowing that there might have been a medicine for someone that was not available for technical or policy reasons. On the other hand, there is a flip side that I don't think people fully appreciate, which is rushing so quickly to trying out an untested medicine could be more dangerous than waiting for the medicine that has been tried in a clinical trial. And as I say, we have one of the largest clinical trial systems in the world. In fact, we don't have enough people in clinical trials. We need more, not less. So maybe a better job of public education and communication will help avoid these problems in the future.
So we'll have to keep an eye on those states and see what happens down the line. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was Dr. Eric Meslin, director of the IU Center for Bioethics.